What up, though?
Hey.
It's Friday. You already know what time it is. It's time for another episode.
Yeah.
Sports Talk with Mark and DP.
Yeah.
You know this voice. You know that voice.
What's up, man?
In the words of you, what it dookie.
What it dookie, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Welcome. See? Welcome, y'all.
And today, I had to represent for the hometown once again.
And on a greater scale, shout out Detroit. Shout out to Detroit homies, man. I'm just thankful to be a part of the group chat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just pleased, you know?
Yeah.
But as y'all see, we got black-owned businesses on.
Hey.
Shout out to Seven Streams. Shout out to TGID, The Game Is Dirty.
Yeah. This was a birthday gift from one of my best friends in the world, Layla, and she got this from her best friend, Jess, who's from Detroit.
Easy.
Her aunt, Miss Jackie, made the hoodie.
See, look at it. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to black
out owned, in Atlanta.
Yeah, shout out to black owned businesses, man.
Thank you.
Shout out to black owned businesses. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and you see what the back say though.
What up though?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Respectfully. I'm from Detroit.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Respectfully.
And I represent the motherland, baby.
Amen.
Also, another black owned business.
Look at that.
Love Collections.
Talk about the wrist piece.
Oh. Hey. So the homie Matt.
Yeah.
You know who Alex is now, right?
Yes.
She made this.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So shout out to Alex. Shout out to Matt, you know, putting on for the fam.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, got the chakra beads, you know, got to stay peaceful, you know, keep my serenity because life is crazy out here.
Got the Gatorade.
Yes, we are definitely being hydrated.
Come on now. Got the Gatorade.
Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.
Raise your glasses if you got one.
You understand me?
Oh, let's see what this thing say. Oh. Aunt Kiva said, what up, though?
What's up, Auntie?
Yeah.
How's it going?
You know, I can't see the screen with this light on. All right. Life is better. Dude, that thing is blinding. You on live, all of a sudden, you're like, I can't read. Oh, man. How was your week, though?
Man, I had a great week, man. Nice. I ain't going to lie. It low-key seemed a little slow motion, but not that I'm complaining or nothing, but Friday got here, you know, when it was supposed to. It feels good to be at the end of the work week.
For sure.
So it was a good week.
You know, I came front. You know, the week was good. It went by faster because we had Monday off because, you know, MLK Day.
Man, I worked on MLK Day.
Oh, word?
Yeah, you know. We're just going to say I worked on MLK Day.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, the particular place in which I earn money from, you know, it's 24/7. You know what I'm saying? So
don't get fired. Don't incriminate yourself.
Yeah, you know, so.
Be good. You went to work on Monday.
I went to. And you know what? As a black man, I made my money that day.
No, that's good.
You know,
I respect it.
I just feel that with it being MLK Day, with it being a national holiday, because it is.
Yes.
I should have gotten paid double that day. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying.
If this wasn't a sports show,
we would go in depth about that.
Ooh, the elaboration would take place. It would commence.
I'm already knowing.
Yep.
I'm already knowing. But nonetheless. Shout out to MLK and everything he's done. You know, shout out to, you know, just the world, man. I mean, We did also experience the inauguration this week. Well, you know,
I didn't watch it.
The media portrayed an event that
I did not watch it. I saw what I saw via social media.
Yes, I watched it briefly.
Some of the day,
I watched it briefly for about 38 seconds on Twitter.
And then I saw more memes of it than I did the actual event.
I love Bernie, though. He's famous, sir. He's more famous for that. Like, Bernie even dropped a crew neck. Like, in his gangster, like, he embraced the comedic nature of that picture. Like,
he did.
You know, J. Cole went ahead and flipped it, threw his shoes on him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
everybody has had their turn. With that Bernie Sanders meet.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say something else. I'll save that for another time and specifically another place. Today's been wild.
Hey, it's been something else.
Hey, I hope the homies are listening.
It's been something else.
Uh-oh, what happened? Oh, you turned the AC on? Yeah, you know. Oh, you a little toasty in here? All right.
You know, I figured I'd cut it off. I'm back. I'm back.
Fair enough. Now, we have mentioned the group chat.
Yes.
There was something you mentioned there earlier today, specifically on the sports side.
Okay, let's talk about it.
I don't know how it came up. I mean, besides just talking in a certain coaching, type of coaching and, you know,
in other things.
Yeah. No, but like specifically when we do talk about sports in the group chat, we talk heavily college sports.
Yes.
Heavily college sports. And, you know, everybody lives in different places and everybody has their different allegiances or whatever. But you today specifically brought up some experiences taking some of your guys that you've been able to coach on the recruiting trips at both USC and UCLA respectively, and how that experience threw even you off, and you weren't even a prospect. So
100%.
Let's give the backstory, and then we'll propel it to where it's going to go.
Now, I'm going to give a deeper preface than what I alluded to in the text.
The floor is yours.
So so basically, I mean, we're aware of the we got Herm Edwards at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
We have Clay Helton at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Chip Kelly at UCLA. Those are probably the top three schools on the West Coast, just period. And just in terms of notoriety. We know Arizona State to be, Arizona's right here in our backyard, 6 hours away. Mm-hmm. And then in-state, literally down the street, we got SC and UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Three totally different and unique cultures of a program.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Arizona State led by a black coach who has no fear of hiring young coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the biggest young hires he had, what was that, two seasons ago, mm-hmm. was Prentice Gill and the former defensive back. His name is getting away from me right now, but former defensive back from USC.
Okay.
So of those two guys, along with Antonio Pierce, and then you have Marvin Lewis, and a slew of other former NFL guys, or just guys with crazy, mm-hmm. crazy football experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have USC, which is a, you know, I'm going to just keep it real, plain and simple. It's a more uppity, predominantly white staff, you know, who although they do have young black pieces that are a part of the staff,
mm-hmm.
don't necessarily relate to the culture, you know, of, you know, that's the community. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying? FC being in the hood specifically, you know what I'm saying? Predominantly black neighborhood. You know, we're in L.A., the talent's going to be there. You know what I'm saying? And then you got UCLA, which we all know is the private school of the bunch, or excuse me, the public school that appears to be like a private situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just based on the culture.
Yeah.
And you got Chip Kelly running that show.
And the school's in Beverly Hills.
And the school's basically in Beverly Hills. Westwood.
Well, Westwood technically,
yeah, yes. Westwood is baby Beverly. You know what I'm saying?
Next door.
Yeah. So, as we were talking in the group chat, we were just talking about the different cultures. Basically, we were just saying how UCLA and USC got to be sick because Arizona State is taking California talent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to understand, Prentice Gill grew up in L.A., D.A. boy. If y'all not familiar, that's a neighborhood in Carson. And then you got Chris Hawkins. There we go. Then you got Chris Hawkins, who's from the IE, played at USC. He's super tapped into the LA County as well.
Yeah.
Then you got Antonio Pierce, former Long Beach Poly head coach.
Oh, he's from out here?
Yeah, he's from here as well.
Okay.
So you got these different pieces that have these strong LA ties.
Yeah.
And although they're at Arizona State, like I said, Arizona's our neighbor. They right there. That culture, that makeup of that staff used in recruiting versus USC and UCLA, who, and just speaking from my experience at UCLA a year ago when I took one of my athletes there for a visit, first off, this is a 3-4 star defensive back that you guys offered.
Yeah.
Y'all offered him. You know what I'm saying? He got the grades. He clearly has the ability, all those things. Why is it that the head coach never had any conversation with him?
Yeah, that's wrong.
Being, and this is your in-state, your in-city talent.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? USC. Took a couple kids there. Granted, they had, you know, a couple cool old heads, you know what I'm saying, that were black, you know what I'm saying, that were familiar with not necessarily the area, but just in terms of being able to relate to the kids on that level, they had that.
Yeah.
But the whole genetic makeup of that program staff does not necessarily fully appeal to the inner city student, the inner city student athlete, in comparison to Arizona State.
Yeah.
So naturally, if we're thinking historically in the last, what, four years? Mind you, Prentice Gill was at USC. He was an assistant wide receiver coach at USC.
Mm-hmm.
He spent, what, I want to say 3 to 4 seasons there.
Okay.
He went to Oregon, became an assistant receiver coach there as well. Now, if you just follow him specifically, he took talent and athletes gravitated to him everywhere he went.
Mm-hmm.
So, you put him at Arizona State, you give him a full-time opportunity, which Herm Edwards did while perhaps others didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Chris Hawkins. And you throw them on the staff and you let them recruit, kids are going to flock to them. Because, one, they're young enough to relate.
Mm-hmm.
They're knowledgeable enough to really teach and coach. And they're going to get the job done. And they can meet the kids, you know, at their level.
Yeah.
So when you consider USC and UCLA, they really behind the A-ball. Because now, What have we seen at USC and UCLA over the past few years, just in terms of the makeup of their student athletes? They're coming from the OC, you know what I'm saying?
Their quarterbacks definitely come from the OC.
Their quarterbacks for sure, hands down. I mean, what's the Dorian Thompson?
Dorian Robinson Thompson?
Yeah.
Thomas, or I can't, DRT, I just know.
DRT, kid from Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Granted, I don't even think Chip Kelly recruited him, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He was a Mora.
Yeah, he's a Jim Mora guy.
Yeah.
And we know Jim Mora, you know, same as Chip, NFL ties. But Jim Mora's a different kind of character. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Completely different.
Completely different in comparison to Chip Kelly. But even just in my experience going to UCLA and being there, seeing a practice, being in the building, it's too much of a business. It's too much of a business-like atmosphere, and it takes away from the fun and the joy of being a collegiate student athlete.
Dude, okay. So as you're talking about the makeup of USC and UCLA, as you're talking about it, hit me, like, the comparison. Follow me.
Yeah.
The comparison between both of them, and we're talking, you know, where the schools are, the prestige, plus the football program specifically, not any other sport.
Yeah.
They are the Lakers and Clippers in reverse.
Yeah.
For those that want to understand what I'm saying, USC football has the history of the Lakers, but their get down has a more current Clippers feel. They reach out. They are more intact with the community around them.
Yeah.
Specifically based on where they're just at.
Right. And then to that point,
yeah,
we all know UCLA are the Clippers. We know this.
Yeah.
But when it comes to how USC kind of operates, I guess,
yeah,
it's real Clipperish.
Yeah, and the you know, UCLA has a very Clipper-like history.
Yeah.
Of not winning.
Right.
But their facilities, you would think it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and yeah, also they're like removed.
And now
they're in a very safe space.
And now, if we think even deeper, just in terms of, you know, all the schools with talent that are surrounding both USC and UCLA, not only did we have Chad Johnson's son at Venice High School, not only did we have Sheldon Buckley, I can't think of his full name, but we had him here locally. Mm. We had the backup quarterback at Alabama, his name leaves me right now. He started off at Cathedral High School, transferred to, I believe, Modern Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have DJ Ugalele. I'm sorry if I butcher your name. At St. John Bosco. And these are all these kids in LA County.
Yeah.
All these kids in LA County.
Yeah.
Not one of them went to USC or UCLA.
No.
Chad Johnson's son went to is at Arizona State. He's a freshman at Arizona State right now.
See?
Buckley is a freshman at Arizona State right now. And these are kids; these are highly recruited kids
mm-hmm.
that are leaving. And you know, even when we was coming up, and granted, you're from Detroit.
Yeah.
You know damn well if you got a USC, UCLA offer, you're on 10. You're geeked.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially USC.
Yeah, you're geeked. You're geeked.
Watching what they had through 2001 through 2009.
It's nuts.
Well, 2010. I give them that.
It's nuts. But, and it just goes to show, one, that a lot of these programs, and just speaking even outside of SC and UCLA, a lot of these programs historically, when it comes to like recruiting, they real old school with it. You know, some of them have adapted to adding younger coaches to their staff that you may be fresh out off a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look. I don't know if you saw the hire at Boise State recently.
I did not.
So they recently just hired a former coach there. My phone's here. I can't think of his name right now. But
that's why we got a good friend Google.
So Boise just hired he's a former athlete and he's a former coach on their staff. And you know what? One of the first hires he brought in was Jerron Johnson, a former defensive back for Boise State who played for the Seahawks. And he knows that's the type of individual that these kids that this generation of kids could relate to. He just played in the league. Andy Avalos. There we go. Andy Avalos was just hired at Boise State after their previous coach just left for Auburn.
Okay.
So Andy Avalos, he is a former coach. He's a former coach there, and he's an alumni there.
Okay.
So he know, and he's younger. He's younger. He was just recently the defensive coordinator at Oregon. So when it comes to football, he know his stuff.
Yeah.
But he's also mindful enough to have a nice combination of old heads and younger guys to, you know, create a staff that's well-rounded, basically.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that can relate to that freshman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And get him a game, basically, as he's just barely getting his feet wet. At the same time, you got those seasoned guys that may have 15, 20, 30 years in the game coaching, maybe even some pro experience that's going to, you know, pour that knowledge into you. But then you still got that same younger cat that can meet you where you at, give you the game, but then mm-hmm. also talk to you in the same space that you're going to understand it.
Yeah. My thing with recruiting is this. I mean, obviously, I wasn't no highly touted recruit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I did two visits.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them in Michigan. I ended up going to the one where I ended up going to school. But the thing with recruiting is, As a former high schooler, looking at it with bright eyes, you do look for things that you go, ooh, that stands out. Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool too. You know, so-and-so over there looks great.
Yeah.
Girls look great. You know, and this coach, he just understands how to talk to me.
Yeah.
He knows how to get me revved up. He knows how to get me going. He knows how to be really good with his words.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you care about that subconsciously more than you care about the other stuff because you're young.
Right, right, right.
On the flip side of that, when it comes to the presentation that you put on, you would think that some of these coaches would put more effort into, as you mentioned, the staff that's there and just the quality of a program that they really seek to build.
Right.
And that's if you're going after wins versus going after a paycheck and have a mediocre season year in and year out.
And
each coach is different, obviously. Each program right. is different. The expectations are different. You know, what UCLA realistically should expect themselves to do is not the standard that they hold themselves to.
Yeah.
Which is, they need to kind of really cut back on that. Just being honest.
Yeah.
USC, on the other hand, everybody knows that they should be contending for the Pac-12 every year.
Right, 100%. 100%.
And they haven't seen the college football playoff since its inception. They haven't seen it.
And now, and to your point, when it comes to the foundation of a program,
mm-hmm.
now you start to question, how important is the development of culture in a program?
Yeah.
Because then when you consider that, and then you consider the makeup of that head coach, the character of that head coach,
yeah,
that program is going to be a representation of that head coach, regardless. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you just on the outside looking in, because we, you know, we don't have no direct line to Arizona State. You know what I'm saying? We don't understand. We don't know the nuances and the intricacies of what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But from the outside looking in, we can see the kids look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
They look like they're learning. I mean, they've been, since Herm Edwards has been there, they've continued to improve, continue to climb the ladder.
And they go to the number one party school in the country.
Right. And it's like the kids have bought in. You know what I'm saying? Now, you consider a UCLA, yes, over this past season, they have improved on paper. Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But I believe that that's just because there have been some coaching changes there. You know what I'm saying? But after being on campus and actually experiencing it, I wouldn't want to go there, personally. And that's because it just seems too businesslike.
Now, okay, from the kids that you took there, how did they feel about their visits?
That particular kid agreed.
Okay.
He agreed. And what's crazy, the crazy thing about that visit, bro, the guy, the assistant coach, you know, probably a GA, who was with us, you know, basically giving us the tour at the time.
Yeah.
He didn't even know his personnel.
What?
So we're in the elevator, and this particular coach goes to say, man, it's crazy you got hurt and, you know, you missed out on your whole junior season. He was like, what? I didn't get hurt. And I'm just sitting there looking like, how you get assigned this athlete for this visit and you don't even know what his situation is? My student was like, I didn't get hurt. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, you didn't. But you didn't get hurt. You set out your junior year, right? He's like, yeah, but not because of injury. I transferred. Oh, okay. Huh. You think I'm really about to come here? Right. You don't even know me.
Right. You just told me that.
You showed your hand.
You didn't pay attention to a thing.
To nothing. You just showed your hand. Or
if the staff didn't, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a reflection of them.
Exactly. So what that make you look like?
Man. Yeah, that's bad.
The crazy thing is when, because I, you know, one of my goals is to become an athletic director.
Sure.
Whether it's the Texas High School or it's D2 or NAIA football,
mm-hmm.
Or university, I should say. So when it comes to those type of situations, you want to make sure that you're hiring people that, one, know what the hell they're doing, and two, they're personable. They're sociable. Yeah. You can have a conversation with them. You can put them in a room with people they don't know, and they'll walk out after, you know, having had multiple conversations with the individuals in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody. I'm not going to have nobody on my recruiting staff. Oh, excuse me. I said AD, which I do want to do, mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would love to be a recruiting coordinator.
Sure.
For a university. And that would be one of the things. I wouldn't put somebody in front of people that's not really a people person.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you wasting that recruit's time. Cause it's gonna be, how was your day? Like, no.
So you want to be the guy that gives out the Mickey D's bags with double cheeseburgers?
Man, and speaking of that, hey, shout out to Tennessee being so clever. Oh my gosh.
That was hilarious.
How clever was that? And then we come across a post of somebody who talk about.
That's because somebody watched Pay the Fool one day. Right. Was like, hey.
You know what? Or they might have been watching, New Jack City or something, you know what I'm saying? But they for sure just came up with a cool little idea. Like,
and they found brown paper bags with a logo.
Come on now.
With the logo.
With the dough in there. With the cash.
With the golden M.
Come on, son.
And that's funny because they got the golden M, like, or the golden arches, as they call it.
Yeah.
Like, here's your money, dog.
Yeah. But as you were saying earlier in regards to just the different atmospheres and just how important that coach is to the players.
Yeah.
Just look how many Tennessee players have entered the transfer portal after Pruitt got the boot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids develop a tough, like a strong relationship with these coaches. These coaches are sliding on these kids. Like, they getting on.
And also the kids, to their credit, definitely understand the business aspect of it too. Because they go, hey.
Do they?
I think a lot of them do.
Say your piece, then I'm going to say my piece.
All right. Coach can leave whenever he wants. He can sell you on a program. He can leave when he wants. Get fired for the dumbest reason. Have a multi-million dollar buyout.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be. Either way, his loyalty is not to the school. It's not to them players. It's not to a tradition.
Yeah.
It is to his wallet and his resume.
And right.
And the players, as they've noticed this, felt it, you know, and they really felt the brunt of it up until recently where guys go, yeah, but he left or he promised me something and he's not living up to it. I should be able to take off. And they have exercised that. They've exercised their mobility.
And the NCAA allows them to do such things as well.
They do. They could do it better.
Yes, I agree.
But at least the progress that has been made outside of the money thing, that one I can say that progress I am glad to see.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have the thing called the transfer portal now. Now, there are still some stipulations depending on where you're coming from and where you're going and if you can or cannot sit out and all that stuff. At the end of the day, listen, these guys are cash cows that you make billions of dollars off of. If they decide to switch jerseys, as every pro player most of the time does,
right?
Listen, they're not hurting your bottom line. They're not. Because you replace them every year. It's a funnel in, funnel out.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And so, okay, so it's not necessarily a counter to your point.
Okay.
It's just a different different perspective of it.
Cool.
Now, as you were saying, sometimes the coach will basically not keep their word. We'll keep it as simple as that. They won't keep their word.
Man, they won't.
And there's been multiple cases in which a coach is a part of a program, and during his time with that program, naturally he's involved in recruiting.
Yeah.
And he recruits these kids. These kids buy into him. They embrace him. They welcome him. Mm-hmm. And ultimately they're there because of that coach. And it might not even always be a head coach. It could be an assistant.
Yeah.
So then ultimately what ends up happening, as you said, this is these coaches' livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
More so at the Division I level than any other level.
For sure.
Because
D2 level, you can get guys that – you can get coaches that stay there forever.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Just – because my three focuses when it comes to running a college football program, the community.
Mm-hmm.
Grades.
Mm-hmm.
And winning ball games.
Sounds like a D2 school.
That's really it. Like,
but that's also the D2 philosophy.
Yeah, like that's really it. Because you think about it, Mark Bland might go 5-5-6 for 4 years straight. But he's heavily tapped into the community. His players love community service. They pour into the community. The kids love them.
They're fully supported.
They go to class. They got an overall GPA 3.0. You think they're going to fire you?
No.
No. Because of everything else,
mm-hmm.
you're building great men.
Mm-hmm.
Of anything else, you're building great men.
Yeah.
And it's not to say in that mix of those 3, 4, 5 seasons with a losing record that you don't bust one out and come out 8-3, you know what I'm saying? Get a bowl game. You know, some. Well,
you get a playoff game.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the reality is the focus of that AD when he's considering moving something around,
yeah.
9 times out of 10, he's not going to move you to head coach, being that you've established such a positive culture within the program, and you've established yourself in your program within the community.
Yeah.
So it's like these coaches that come into, I personally feel that a lot of these coaches, a lot of these head coaches, or just coaches in general that slide, is money. It's money over loyalty at the end of the day.
Man. Let me say this too, like the buyouts that these guys have, especially at the highest.
Bro, they're nuts. Like at the highest level, at the FCS level, bro.
No, FBS.
FBS or, level is.
Or whatever you call it, Power 5. No. So bro, you got ACC, nuts. Big 10, Big 12, SEC, Pac-12.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Dude,
like Tom Herman, former head coach
of University of Texas, which they said they weren't going to get rid of, but they did. And I think it was an internal move.
Well, yeah. Because, for one, Texas cannot stand Oklahoma being good.
And the crazy thing is, Oklahoma isn't as good as they've been.
Last 2 years they have. They made noise.
I'm saying I'm speaking on just this past year. They were cool. They didn't suck. But no. They weren't as dominant as they've been in the previous 4 years.
Yeah. But a school like Texas who refuses to play second fiddle to anybody, even though they are in a lot of cases. That there's so much pride in their alumni and booster community that they'll do anything to get wins again because it makes them feel good.
What was the black coach's name that was there?
Charlie Strong.
Charlie Strong did wonders in creating a culture and positive community within that program. Uh-huh. He did wonders. Granted, he was only there one season, right? One or two seasons. And he was able to, he got the seniors graduated. He got guys going to the league. Granted, they didn't do too well in terms of wins and losses.
No, they didn't.
But when it came to the bigger aspect, just on a humility level, he was developing great men. And then, I mean, we could say Tom Herman is whatever he is, but he was winning games. Let's be honest.
He won some games. But was it, is it what Texas thought they were going to get from him based on was doing in Houston?
Yeah, Houston?
No.
And that's the thing, though. You take a coach. I mean, granted, you do got the Dana. I can't even think of his last name. But he went from West Virginia to University of Houston.
Oh, Houghton?
Yeah.
Or maybe.
It started with an H. I don't know what his last name
is.
I
think it's Houghton.
First name, Dana. You took him from West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and put him on the University of Houston staff.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was there, they had a few good years.
Yeah.
But you would think you're coming from the West Virginia Big 12, right?
Yeah.
You come from the Big 12 to the American Conference,
Houston. Yeah, American.
And you don't. Granted, yes, I get it. You're not getting the same recruits. I get it.
But you're in Houston.
You're in the H.
You got kids right there. You got kids
in your backyard. Like, literally, you got kids in your backyard.
All you
got
to do is stay in the city limits, and you got a team.
But once again, everything comes back full circle, as we start the show with saying.
And you know what, though? Tom Herman shouldn't have left Houston. I think had he stayed there.
Chase the money.
Right. Also, build his resume. So,
but what happened?
But had he stayed there, Houston would be fighting right now to get into the Big 12.
Bro, we could take it all the way back to when what's his name?
Oh, when they were the Big 8.
No, when dude that just got fired at Arizona, black coach.
Kevin Sumlin.
We could take it all the way back to when Kevin Sumlin was at U of H. Then he went to Texas A&M.
Yeah,
you was at Texas A&M doing it.
Yeah.
But did he get the boot?
No, they fired him.
Yeah, he got the boot.
Well, they fired him because they fired him post Manziel, and because after Manziel left, it went downhill.
They went down,
and then they were like, "All right, before this thing gets too far low, and we can't build ourselves back up," they let him go, and then they brought in Jimbo Fisher. Now, to Texas A&M's credit, Jimbo's working out.
Yes, we knew he was.
Jimbo, I didn't know that for certain.
I knew that because Jimbo didn't do well at Florida State because
he won the title.
No, I'm talking about before he left. Uh-oh. Those 2 seasons before he left.
After the title, Francois, after James.
He had Francois, he had Blackman.
Yeah.
You had Francois, you had Blackman.
Yeah.
Come on, son. And then they just weren't getting the same recruits. No. But you put them at Texas A&M where Texas A&M low key just been creeping up every year. They've been creeping up. You know, but back to what I was saying in regards to Kevin Sumlin, you took him from U of H, boom, he goes to Texas A&M, boom, he go to U of A. What happens when he don't got no dudes?
Man.
And this ain't a knock on.
It's also Arizona.
Yeah. But it's Arizona, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but no, I'm saying you still Pac-12. You still getting dudes.
You're getting dudes.
You got dudes. But now
you ain't getting. But you're still not getting the guys that are going to pick USC over you.
Of course,
the
they
guys.
Not.
The guys that are going to pick Oregon you over are, you.
Yeah.
The guys that are going to pick. Hell, Washington over you.
But, bro, but as Urban Meyer said, and I think I said this last week, everybody wants to talk mess about the coaches. Wants to say the coaches ain't getting it done, the players not getting it done. But really, schematically, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Your players aren't getting developed the way they should be. Or you're not playing to your players' strengths. So, what? So U of A, when U of A was decent,
mm-hmm.
they had a really good running game, and they had a quarterback that got the ball out quick.
To the quote that you mentioned about from Urban Meyer, something that I just personally believe deep down in my gut, that a lot of these coaches overthink or overestimate, rather.
Yeah.
They think high school kids don't know good coaches.
Yeah, right.
They really do. They really think that. High school kids don't understand what good coaching is.
And it's especially, too many not to cut you off, but yeah. it's too many coaches that like train kids too. So kids are really getting exposed to good coaching.
Yeah, and when they get the individualized training, that's one thing. But then even from a whatever high school you come to, because you may not go to the best high school in your city, your county, your state, whatever.
Yeah.
So you may have a greater chance of being exposed to bad coaching. If you're great enough to go to the next level, the first thing you're looking at is, I want to be coached better.
I
want to
be coached.
Because I know, even though I'm getting it done here,
I want to be coached.
I know what they're telling me is a load of garbage and they're getting their plays off Madden.
Yeah. Bro, now let's think of high school.
That was also my high school experience.
we'll consider high school football right now, and we're gonna talk inner city, because we know them private schools.
Keep it hood.
We know the private schools. They got the bread to pay the coaches, man, for the coaches to lend more of their time. To
they develop, get paid to be there.
Yeah, to develop the program. That's why Bosco is Bosco. Modern Day is Modern Day.
Where is Bosco?
Bosco's in Bellflower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why Cathedral's Cathedral, because they got the money to pay the coaches, to spend their time there, to pour into the program.
Mm-hmm.
You got inner city schools that may not necessarily, they may only have 3 full-time teachers on their staff. And if you only got 3 full-time teachers on your staff, that means the rest of your staff is working outside of the campus. So 7 times out of 10, your DB coach might be late to practice. Your DB coach might get there just when on the field practice starts, meaning that film time or that chalk talk time is out the window, or is being spit with somebody that doesn't necessarily know the details of your position. Mm-hmm. So, of course, naturally, those inner city schools, they kind of are missing that extra step that some of these other schools are getting, just for the simple fact that they have the funding to pay their coaches. Because
mm-hmm.
we can't sit here and say that if coaches were getting paid, they wouldn't spend the time there. Because we know they would.
Oh yeah, when it's your livelihood, oh yeah, you do spend more time on it. As with almost anybody,
everything. Right?
But if you are paid to be there,
you gonna be there.
People will be there.
You gonna be there. And LAUSD is one of the lowest stingiest paying districts ever. I've coached in Bellflower Unified. I've coached in Long Beach Unified. And when they decide to let us play, I'm gonna be coaching in LA Unified.
Yeah.
And it's never been about money for me. But I'm aware of my responsibilities.
I definitely know it's not been about money for you, because had it been about money, you'd have been gone last summer.
Facts.
You would have been gone.
I would have been out of
here. And this show would not have come back. I know that for a fact.
It would have been a wrap. You know what I'm saying?
This thing would have been dead.
Chase the money. But it's
with it's beyond saying, that. Get your money, black man.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like the unfair. I mean, I guess we can't necessarily say fairness. We'll just say the differences when it comes to college high school sports here. Just speaking in California, because sure. In other states,
I could tell you about Michigan.
Yeah,
dude, like Detroit Public Schools put out some of the baddest players to come out of the city. Also, their school district sucks.
Yeah.
Now, we also have a very prominent charter school system in Detroit. I haven't seen too many
charter. And your charter schools have sports.
Oh, yeah.
See, our charter schools here, that you know, they'll have basketball. They'll have.
But see, I couldn't tell you a charter school in LA yet. I couldn't tell you which ones are quote unquote charter schools. I couldn't tell you.
Well, that's because you probably drive past them and don't even recognize them. Cause a lot,
really?
Yeah, it's some of them here that they're just old businesses that they turn to a school.
Like, name one.
Animo.
Never heard of it.
Then they got the Kip.
Nope.
It's a lot of Kips.
If you started naming public schools, I could be like, oh yeah, I heard of that one. Well, yeah, I seen that one. Like, but also, it's where like a lot of kids go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I see them, like, if I'm driving around town and I happen to have like an off day or I get off work early, I'm just like, oh, there's a bunch of kids there. Oh, they go to school. Cool.
Yeah, fact.
Yeah. Well, like in Detroit, public school system puts out great athletes. Charter school puts out actually great athletes too.
Yeah.
Private school, I can't even front. They put out some badass athletes.
Yeah.
A lot of your linemen from like Michigan to come from there.
Mm.
But in different parts of the state, because I've lived on the west side of the state too. So specifically Grand Rapids, Ottawa County, and Kent County. The school system there, like the public school system, again, not great, but they put out some badass athletes.
Yeah. Now, speaking on high school,
they also care about football more. Detroit basketball.
As you speak on high school, and we think of the nature, you know, of the world.
Present day.
CIF still has not made a concrete decision on what's going to happen with fall sports. They keep kind of beating around the bush. And so, I think it might have been just yesterday, and I believe I either retweeted it or I put it on IG.
Okay.
Jordan Campbell, the owner of Winter Circle Athletics, which is a it's not even just a facility. It's a whole entity out in Corona. He played at USC, New Mexico Highlands, a couple other schools. But they have a kind of like a club team. They got a club league that's booming. And it's where you actually see a lot of the LA football players playing in. And granted, they got teams from all over. Hawaii, yeah. Arizona, Vegas. Yeah. And so he was basically saying that there are some high school coaches, you know, he didn't name any specifically, but there are some high schools whose coaches are discouraging their kids from participating in club football right now.
I understand that.
And I don't, because it's not against the rules.
Here's why I understand.
Go ahead.
Because, one, unlike college, unlike the NCAA, which has its own set of rules.
Yeah.
At the high school level, are you going to grant kids another year to go to high school?
Yeah.
Like, that's not set in stone. There's nothing special rule in place. I mean, hell, even in college, like, the system is designed for you to max out possibly 5 years anyway. High school, if you just go through it, you're supposed to be 4 and done.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so now to your point.
Also, from an insurance standpoint, that's tricky too.
But I'm a senior. Where's my season?
Hey, and I have the utmost sympathy for a senior. Now, if they make the exception and say, you know what?
But they're not. The club team is not breaking any CIF or any high school football eligibility rules. That's the thing.
If you're a senior and you choose to do that, by all means, I understand that. I'm not saying that the kids shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But from the coach standpoint, I get why they're like, ooh, I don't want you to do it, because God forbid the day you get hurt, now all of a sudden a rule has changed and you can come back for whatever reason.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's no rule against them playing club ball. Yeah.
Now, I also wish
And that's because there is no football going on right now.
Yeah, and, so and I wish the CIF would too. Sorry for cutting you off. No, I wish they would have came out a long time ago and just said, nope, we're not having it, and here's what we're going to do differently going into 2021 to 2022 seasons.
Yeah.
But they haven't, so that's very cowardly. Like, you know, my nephew Q in San Diego, like, he missed his entire junior year.
Bro, that it's a...
And not to say that he's trying to go...
But it's just a, it's
play
just a
college simple, ball, but like, you know.
It's just a simple fact that they're continuing to beat around the bush. Just say yay or nay. Because you say yay or nay, people going to move...
People going to do what they're going to do.
They're going to do at the end of the day. And you see these kids playing club ball. Cool, please play. If you a senior, I encourage you to play.
Yeah.
Because at this point...
And you know, season, and you know why they're doing this too. Because from a money standpoint, back to the money.
Yeah.
When you tell kids, hey, if you tell kids early enough and you tell their families, you're not about to have a season here. Oh, they will go move out of state to go get the job done.
We saw that happen. Look at the Garcia kid that was... He was at Narbonne. He left Narbonne. He moved to I think Alabama first. Alabama or Arkansas. So he moved somewhere to the south first.
Dude.
Then he moved again because by rule he was unable to play, but then he just kept continuing to play. And now he's at the University of Miami early.
Dude, I tell you crazier story. There was a kid from California.
Yeah.
I think he was from down here. He was like either here or San Diego, one of three counties. His dad moved to Valdosta, Georgia.
Yeah.
So middle of nowhere, Georgia.
Yeah.
And in order for him to be eligible immediately, he had to...
Was it own a home?
Huh?
Did he have to own a home?
No. Essentially, long story short, his parents got a divorce in order for him to be eligible. Yeah.
Basically, because
they got a divorce.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not mistaken, it had to show, basically have to show a reason of why you made the move. So essentially, the dad had to move to Georgia and the mom
had to stay here.
Yeah, she had to stay or something like that.
And it's not that because you guys just chose to be separate. No, they had to go get a full-blown divorce.
Bro, listen, check this out.
But there's jokes behind that one.
I transferred from out of high school one time. I left one time, and I took my ass right back to Narbonne. I'll never forget the day. It was at the church. You know, thank the Lord. I'm in the car. It was just me and my auntie, and I looked at her. I said, "Can I please go back to Narbonne?" She look. You know how your aunties look at you with that. You know, and I'm pleading with her, bro. I'm like, come on, please. Let me go back, please. But it was a process.
Yeah.
It was a process. I was out of school for a month
before
I was able to go back. But it's like, that's not no, transferring is not no simple task.
Oh, no.
And I'm not getting a divorce for you to go play ball. Like, you about to stay where you at. Man, hopefully you got enough film, my boy. Like,
man, I can't even front. So, in high school, I transferred in high school. The first time wasn't by choice. The school I transferred from had the better program than the school I was transferring to.
Yeah.
But then I tried to transfer one more time my senior year to Grand Rapids to go live with my uncle Rick, because they had a better program out there.
Okay.
That got shut down. But also, which is something that's very popular, at least amongst high school basketball, I thought about reclassifying.
See, I never thought about that.
I already had it built in, though, because I was technically age-wise younger than I was supposed to be academically.
Yeah.
So, because I graduated high school at 17.
Ah.
Because I started kindergarten at 4, and I kept going.
Right.
Like, I never got held back either. So, I could have technically reclassified just based on age alone.
Yeah.
And redid my junior year.
Yeah.
Which I legitimately had a conversation with my mother about. I'm like, I want to do this because I want to play. One, and physically, I wasn't developed. Like, I was playing with kids way bigger than me because my body hadn't caught up yet.
Right.
I will say this for the record. Had I done that and then trained like I did my senior and slash college freshman year,
yeah,
and I would have walked into a senior that way, oh my God, I would have been a monster. Like, my college, my freshman year college, I went from 160 to 195.
Sheesh. You put on some pounds.
35 of them.
You put on some pounds.
And I got strong. And I learned how to run with form. Everything that I was missing.
Yeah.
Because I started practicing with the track team.
Yeah.
Because, I can't remember his name. Coach Ray. Coach Ray, black guy. He was the coach of the track team at Grand Valley. One of the coolest dudes. And I legit just asked him. I went to his office. I'm like, look, man. I'm a football walk-on, but I know I need to get better at running. And I don't know how to run, but I know I can go fast.
Yeah.
Can you help me out? He was like, man, just wake up and come to practice one day. Yeah. I was like, bet.
Bro, my experiences with college track. So, I don't know if I told you this, but.
No.
I tried out for the Fresno State track team.
Oh, no. You did not tell me this. Yeah. Keep going.
You know,
pull up. Keep going.
I ain't going to lie to you. I was pretty solid in track. My auntie always.
I've seen you run hills on IG videos. You be dusting them kids.
My auntie and my nana always felt like I should have hung up my cleats to run track. Shout out to them because they might have been on to something, but football is my love.
My thing with track was just, I told my mother this. I'm like, what's the point of me running for unless I'm running from something? Because odds to goodness, me running from something actually propelled me to run faster.
Because it's fear.
Man! And you know what? That should not be a motivator, but it's fear. Is.
Like, straight up.
That's why I hated playing wide receiver in high school. I wanted to play running back.
Yeah.
I wanted to play running back when I was 8. They moved me to tight end because I caught one pass.
It just looked good.
It looked really pretty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to do this. I want to come out the backfield like Barry Sanders. Just hand it to me. I don't want to catch it. Just give it to me. Yo, I'll do the rest.
Yo, I got to shout out my Fresno State roommate, my dog Juanito, man. Okay, this is just a mini story. Then I'll tell the other story.
All right.
So my dog Juan played ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it was one particular game. Like, my dog Juanito was getting a lot of carries because we had some injuries.
Yeah.
And my dog was bussing. Like, Juan is the chillest, funny, goofy guy. But he's like, he's like just, he's normal conversation funny.
All right.
Like, he's just naturally funny. But my dog was carrying the rock, and he was just, we like, damn, Juanito killing. Like, you know what I'm saying? But that's what you made me think of.
Yeah.
Like, he used to run the rock. Tim Gray, toting that thing.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to be like Juanito. I promise you. And I was short. I didn't get my height until college.
Dog.
Well, yeah, senior college, yeah. I did not hit 6 feet until college. I graduated high school 5'9", 5'10".
It's wild. And so I tried out for the Fresno State track team, man. And, you know, I was just determined to do something.
Yeah.
And at the time, you know, I'm coming out of high school, so I'm still in pretty good shape, although I'm not working out as often as I did. But every time I come home, I was working out. I link up with my cousin Karan. Shout out Karan. I link up with the homie Lindsay. Shout out Lindsay. And it used to be this camp up at Narbonne every Saturday.
Yeah.
So we'd be up there, you know, playing. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, I'm in decent shape. So I tried out for the Fresno State track team. It was a 2-day tryout. So the first day was like sprints. You know, we running 60s, 100s, 200s. Second day was really me. Because I do hurdles. I do the 4x4.
Yeah.
I'm a jumper.
All right.
So day two, we doing a little, you know, longer distance. So we legit, day two, we legit had to, we did some jumps. And then we had to run a time 300. And, you know, I used to run a 300 meter hurdles.
Okay.
So, boom, I get out. I'm like, this me.
300 meter hurdles.
Dog, I'm out. Boom. And, like, you know, I knew some cats on the track team. I had class with them. So, they was, let's go, DP. We'll do it. You know, they gassed me.
Yeah.
So, I'm hitting it. You know, I'm digging. So, I finished. I had a solid time. I couldn't tell you what it is today. But it was a decent time. Everybody was like, damn. You know, like, they geeked for me. Yeah, I'm like, I'm about to make this team. Boy, I'm about to be a college track star. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I wrap up my tryout, you know, go back to the crib, you know, talk to my peoples about it, you know, like my friends, you know, and whatnot. You know, I'm giving the recap. And so the day that the, you know, the people that made the team, the day the list drops, I go check out the list. And out of all the people that tried out, two people made the team.
Are you serious?
Yes. Two. And that, and the crazy thing about it, they were both preferred walk-ons. So they were preferred walk-ons, but they
just, I guess, by,
yeah, I guess by rule, they made them participate in the tryout. And the crazy thing is, one of them was a female and the other was a
discus.
Nah, like a povo, I think. Yeah. One of them's.
I knew it was gonna be something that I'm like, really?
So, you know, well, like, I was sad about that, but I didn't let that deter me from developing a relationship with the track coach.
Yeah, no.
So after I found out I didn't make the team, you know, I went to holler at him about being like a manager for the track team. So for a little while, for a few weeks, maybe some months, I was like the manager for the track team.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, cool, man, it was cool, you know, I got to meet them, you know, yeah, what I'm saying? I made some friends, you know, through the track program or whatever. But then after a while, because they respected me because they saw me come out there. They saw what I could do.
Yeah.
They, you know, they just felt bad for me that, yeah, I didn't make the team.
Oh, yeah. Game respect, game.
Yeah, 100%. And so after a while, I was like, man, I'm supposed to be on this team.
Yeah.
So I went to go practice with them. So they would do makeup practices on Saturdays.
Yeah.
So I went to one of the makeup practices with my boy who was on the track team. He like, yeah, bro, just come. You know, coach, he'll let you come. So I go to the track practice on that Saturday. You know what the warm-up was?
Hurdles?
No.
What?
10 200s. 30-second intervals. Bro. I ran probably four of them joints, and yes, I was ready to die.
I was ready to die. I would have ran one and walked the 30-second and be like,
bro,
I'm done.
Dog, I was leaning on the gate trying to gather my life together. Like, I was so flabbergasted. I was like, are you kidding me? But man, that, you know, that was my experience at college track.
Man, listen. All right, so we talking college story. So, I know I haven't told you this. So, after I dropped football, I became a manager of the basketball team.
Okay.
Mind you, I also tried to walk onto the basketball team.
So you was called in hoop?
Oh, I could ball.
Okay.
I got beat out by the homie Chuck. He was taller than me, though.
Yeah.
But like, oh.
Y'all see how he threw that? He was taller than me, though. That's all he had.
Oh, yeah. No, like Coach Wesley, he was like, man, I've never seen anybody run like you. Mind you, this was after I had started to learn how to run with the track team.
Yeah.
Like a hospital, whatever.
Right.
But he's like, man, you run like a gazelle. And I had hops. I was jumping. I wasn't dunking on nobody, but I actually could dunk on a couple people, but I
didn't. You could dunk?
Oh, yeah, once upon a time. My knee's gone now, but.
Oh, you next level with it.
My mother knows I can dunk because I remember my senior year at my apartment complex. I had to gym to myself at like 11 o'clock at night. And I used to go in there like to relax before I went to bed.
Yeah.
And I set the video up and I like dunked for my mother. I recorded. I'm like, just so you know that I can do this.
Yammed on him. Okay, I'll see you.
One handed. Uh-huh. Your boy had it.
I'll see you.
But, and I was, put it like this, I was a 6-foot Bruce Bowen. Without being dirty, defense was my niche. Defense was my number one. I could pass the rock like it wasn't nobody's business.
Yeah,
scoring was the last thing on my mind because I cared about winning more than like getting points up.
Yeah.
But so I tried out for the basketball team, didn't make it, whatever. But then I became a, you know, student assistant manager for, you know, for that team.
Yeah,
and I remember Coach Bauer. Mind you, he was shorter than me.
Yeah.
But he coached the bigs.
Yeah.
And so as a manager, they throw you in drills because they assume you athletic, and they knew I was.
Yeah.
So they threw me the rebounding drill with the bigs, and we had 2 7-footers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 6 feet. Our other bigs were 6'7", 8", and 6'10".
Yeah.
All of them, minus Mike Prisdale, who was, he was built like Gronk at 6'9".
Yeah.
Outside of him, the other ones, I out-rebounded.
Mm.
And he stopped the drill and was like, yo, why is this? How tall are you? I'm 6 feet. How much do you weigh? 185. How are you letting this 6 foot, 185 guy out-rebound? You're a 7 foot ass. And they all got mad at me. I'm like, y'all just don't want it as bad as I do. It's the ball. Like, it's a ball. Go get it.
Yeah.
All you have to do is reach. And for the record, my stepdad, Omar, what up? He's 6'9". But he taught me how to rebound against big guys. Like, he gave me the game. He went to Southern University, HBCU.
Yeah.
Down in Louisiana. Did a tryout with the Rockets. Actually, I saw the tape of it. Hakeem Olajuwon was in the tape, you know, doing the dream shake and all that. Like, played with Chris Webber and his AAU team, the Super Friends back in Detroit.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
He taught me how to, like, be a big guy for a 6 footer.
Yeah.
And I just used it.
As you should.
And I was just like, come on. They're like, how do you rebound? I'm like, because I just rebound.
I do it.
But ask my middle school coach how I was at 4'8" in the sixth grade going up against 6 footers with no fear.
Dogging.
With no fear.
Dogging.
Because Allen Iverson was my hero.
Shout out to AI.
Dog. He put on for the little guys.
Shout out to AI.
And Damon Stoudemire.
Yo, Damon Stoudemire is a dog. He was a dog.
They called him Mighty Mouse.
He was a dog.
Step like,
and he light skinned like you.
All right. All right. Gotta get our complexion, Ovi.
But
colorism.
Before we end, we gotta do our picks. Who you got for the NFL playoffs, my boy? Hold on. What you about to whip out?
I was about to whip out my phone. I'm like, wait. No, it's on my phone. I took a screenshot.
Who you got, man? Who you got?
All right, so I'm going to say the joke first before I pick the first game.
Already.
So, I went on Facebook not too long before the show, and I screenshot. That's why I was pulling it up, so I could say the quote directly. But I said the quote in 2017, because that was the year the Falcons went to the Super Bowl against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the quote was, I may not be a loyal Lions fan. I know it. It is what it is. But I am forever a diehard. What did I say? Diehard something Green Bay Packers hater. And with all that being said, go Falcons.
That was the quote. Oh, okay.
Now, I still hate the Packers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, diehard down for the cause. Green Bay Packers hater.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like them. Do I think they'll win on Sunday?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Objectively speaking, yes. Because most teams don't beat the Tundra. They're at home. It's playing football in 10 degrees. I don't recommend it. And a team like Tampa Bay going up there, nope. Can they pull it off? Sure. Green Bay has a bad day. Or if they somehow just outwill them, sure. But Green Bay at home.
Yeah.
And the other game, Chiefs. It's Josh Allen's first rodeo at this level. Experience is a great teacher. The Chiefs been here and they've done that. I think the Chiefs will play one of their best games they've played all year because they're playing up to good competition, which has been, I think, their problem all year. They've been playing down the competition. So they'll scrape out wins where they should have blown teams out.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, in the Super Bowl, Chiefs, Packers. However, prediction that we put out when we came back on this program.
Yeah.
I had Chief Seahawks, so I'm off. Tragic. I'm off by one team.
Definitely.
Off by one team.
You know what? Go Bills, go Packers.
All right.
Go Bills, go Packers.
I cannot knock the Bills, but I shouldn't even say but. If the Bills win, I just want, you know, whenever life goes back to normal, I just need WWE to make a tables, ladders, and chairs match in Buffalo.
That'd be hard.
Like, just because Bills Mafia, for whatever reason, loves jumping through them things. And I know Costco loves giving them business. And Sam's Club for buying plastic tables just for them to crush them. Like jumping off of their vans and saying, "We're going to people's elbow you off the top rope."
Bow. Bow. Clean your ass up. Bow.
I don't understand this tradition. I don't get it. I'm not from Buffalo. I don't get it.
But you're not, you say you're not for Buffalo?
I'm not from there.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
No, I'm not from there.
My bad.
No, you're good. I don't understand it, but it's funny watching people break their bones in the name of rooting for a football team.
Check this out. There are, in this weekend's games, there are two complete teams. That is the Bills and the Packers. From top to bottom, they are in unison.
100%.
Offense, defense, special teams, they're in unison. So if one of them are upset, I'm going to be surprised. Not saying it can't happen.
You think the Bills would be, if the Bills lost, that's an upset?
Well, no. Well, to me personally, yes. But of course, it's not. Because everybody's rooting for the Chiefs. Everybody think the Chiefs are going to get back to the Super Bowl. So, of course, to the world, no. But to me, it's going to be an upset just for the simple fact that I feel the Bills are one of the other complete teams. I would love to see the Bills and the Packers in the Super Bowl. I think that would be a great Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs and the Packers would be a great Super Bowl. But the Bucks not going to be in it.
I think whoever goes is going to actually be a good game.
Yeah.
Like, of the four teams left, We should, it's not guaranteed, but we should have a very quality Super Bowl. Like, aesthetically, from a just football perspective, it should be a complete game.
Correct.
Or not even complete game. There should be points. There should be defensive stops. There should be something that happens on special teams that can make or break something later on down the line. So all three phases of the game, as it's referred to, for those that are uninitiated. I'm not mad with who's here.
Yeah, facts. Me neither.
Now we could have had one of those years because of COVID where like some team scraped by and you go, "Oh God, I hope you don't get there."
Yeah.
Because you're gonna crap your pants when you get to Super Bowl Sunday. Just because it's like, how did you get here? Oh yeah, because all the other teams lapsed or they were missing people.
Man, because let's be honest, everybody expected the Ravens to be here this weekend.
I didn't either.
I for sure didn't. But ever since Lamar has been the starter, it's been, of course, we know it's been a hype around their organization, and rightfully so. It should be, because they do have the let me not even say that. They do have the star power to, and I'm only speaking of Lamar. They have the star
power. I was going to say, who else is the star?
They have the star power to be in certain positions, but they are not ready. They are not ready.
Well, they don't have an offense.
They
don't have an offense.
They don't.
Like, they Lamar sure don't. Is the offense, and anybody that knows, hell, anytime the Ravens have gone to the Super Bowl, and both times that they've gone, they've won the thing.
Yeah.
Did they have the best offense? No. But they also had capable people around what most would deem a mediocre quarterback.
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco, respectively.
Yeah.
Also, just throw this little thing out there. You notice how nobody in the NFL caught COVID in the playoffs?
But you got your boy Dez Bryant who catches it, or who tests positive a couple hours before the Cowboy game.
I do find it funny how nobody caught it in the playoffs.
Hmm.
Now, it's not to say that nobody caught it,
hmm,
but maybe they stopped testing
hmm
in the playoffs. Because they refused. They
know, bro. They know. They know.
Yeah.
They know.
So, just throwing it out there.
You know.
Which, I mean, if some TV networks did their job, should be a topic of discussion.
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, how come nobody catches it? But during the entire season, we had multiple Steelers games get moved.
Yeah.
Multiple yeah Steelers games, and they were getting pissed.
Yes, 1,000%.
We had other games get rescheduled, removed, you know, thrown around because they scheduled enough time for this to happen. But in the playoffs, nothing. All of a sudden, not a coach, not a quality control coach, not a player, not even a bench player.
Yeah.
Nobody caught it.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody. All right. We're going to find out how many people have it after the Super Bowl.
Nobody.
2 days later, after Super Bowl champion, half the team reported positive coming off the plane. Oh, thanks. Now go check on the other team. And go check on the two teams before that. You jerks.
You jerk. He said, you jerks. You jerks.
You jerks.
I'm dead.
Also, Kelvin, if you're listening, happy Friday.
Yo, shout out. Kelvin's schedule is crazy, man. My dog, man,
hey, wait.
My dog's a grinder, man.
He is a grinder.
Talk, bro.
He goes through it 7 days a week.
Man, my dog's a grinder, man.
Thursdays aren't his best days. Also, shout out Big Pace. You know, have a great weekend.
Shout out to Big Pace, man. Coming up strong, man. Protecting that backside, boy.
Woo!
Come on now, coming up strong, yo, like, boy. You understand me?
Well, yeah, you know what?
I'm gonna just press play. I'm pressing play so they can hear, cause they not tuned in.
I know they not.
They not tuned in, assholes.
Bunch of bums.
They not tuned in, but oh, you know.
Shout out to Q. He jumped on at the last minute.
What a dookie, yada da.
What game you playing right now? Q, whatever game. Text me. Whatever game you playing, cause he be playing them games.
He said he be playing them games.
No, he built his own computer.
That's
from
gangsta
scratch.
That's gangster. I've heard of kids doing that lately, though.
Because they're building computers. They're building
like these
computers.
Big old
with,
gaming computers. Like,
because it has enough RAM, memory, and all the other stuff. So that way they can play and stream without any interruption. All they need is internet at that point. But the last thing that it's going to be is the actual, like, thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Y'all take this to a level way deeper than I ever thought about.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm proud of him because he has something that he loves to do, and he said, I'm going to invest my time, energy, money, effort into it.
And he's going to get it done.
And he's doing it. So I'm proud of him for it. Good job, Q.
You feel me?
Yeah. Shout out to Uh-oh. Afterwards. You know what? On that note, peace, love, happiness.
We love y'all.
Bye.
Holla.
Yeah.